Towards the beginning of your presentation, you talked about the error of conflating responsibilities that are given to individuals and congregations. And you mentioned that there are a lot of people who want to take responsibilities that individuals have and bring them into the congregation. That's wrong. That's caused a lot of problems among the Lord's people. But what about the other way around? There are congregational responsibilities like calling assemblies or sending out preachers, ordaining church officers. We would say none of those things can be done by an individual. What about preaching the gospel? Is preaching the gospel solely a congregational responsibility, and must all preaching of the gospel be done under the authority of a local congregation?
To my knowledge, only the apostles were free, as inspired, to go about their duties. But there were occasions even where the church at Antioch sent out an apostle, as in Paul. Now, he was an apostle preaching wherever he was directed to preach prior to the first missionary journey. But that first missionary journey was a setting aside of him and Barnabas for a special journey. And when they came back from that, they reported back to the brethren who had sent them. And the second missionary journey, Paul departed, recommended by the brethren. And so for Paul's missionary journeys, there remained that local congregation sending out. It does not mean that Antioch was then over every congregation where Paul and Barnabas went. But it does mean that Paul and Barnabas could tell anybody that asked them, who has sent you out? Like they did those teachers that were teaching error from Jerusalem. They could say, we have been sent out by Antioch. And so in our day, we never have a time, no matter who we are in the Lord's church, that we are separate and apart from responsibility to the leadership of a congregation, no matter our position. And so we who are evangelists have an obligation to be submissive to the leadership of a congregation for their recommendation. Because that's what the brethren should always look for, is who recommends you to the work. Now, there's nuances within that that can get quite difficult. But I think we always have to have a congregation. Years ago, when I was publishing the California Directory, there was a brother that ended up listed in two congregations. And he called me. And he said, you've got me listed here and here. Yes, I do. He said, well, I said, I didn't know for sure what to do because both congregations sent your name in. He said, well, actually, I don't really want to be listed to either one. If you'll just start a page for members at large, that's the page I want to be on. It's like, sorry, I'll take you out of both congregations, but you won't be on a page for member at large. Because anybody who wants to just be a member at large is a member in rebellion. And we always have an obligation to be part of a local congregation.
Brother, I think what Shahe probably was getting at is the Old Paths Advocate is not owned by a congregation, is it?
No.
Has it ever been overseen or owned by a congregation?
No.
But the Old Paths Advocate promotes the gospel.
Yes.
So does the Old Paths Advocate do the work of the church?
No, because it's owned by individuals who are responsible to congregations. So there's never an issue, because every paper that I showed you, I also intentionally took a picture of the page that said who owns it. Okay? The only exception to individuals owning these works was that one paper from Temple, Texas that was really Irvin Waters. And so other than that, it's always individuals who own these works and publish them, and those individuals can be asked at any time, who are you responsible to? But so that's the way it has always worked and the way it continues to work.
So if the OPA was teaching false doctrine, you'd go to Livermore, where the publisher worships.
That's right.
And demand that they account for it.
That's right.
Okay, that makes good sense. When a paper, a periodical or something, the publishers of that periodical want payments for the paper or donations to the production of the paper to be tax deductible? Is it scriptural for them to register for 501c3 status so that the United States government will recognize that payments made for the benefit of that periodical may not be considered taxable?
The only thing that 503C classification does is allow that to be a deduction on our taxes. It doesn't turn that publication into a church.
Or into an organization, a parachurch organization.
There are thousands of organizations that are 501C? 501C, sorry. And there are thousands of organizations that are that, and many of them have nothing to do with religion. But they still have applied for the status of, if you donate to that, you have a tax deduction. Now, that's up to the individuals that have that. Brother Bill Ferguson may or may not have that designation, but he still asks for donations. Why? Because not enough people subscribe to the paper for him to be able to afford to keep putting it out. And so if someone says, here's a way for you to do this and it's a tax advantage, that's just simply the marketing of something. It's kind of like washing the cow before you take it to the sale barn. You know, you want it to look as good as possible. And so that may be an untoward comparison for those sites that have that classification, but it's still just the marketing of how to attract people to a site. When you look at the millions upon millions of people that subscribe to the stuff from singers that I don't know the names of, and then you compare that to the most active sites among us, we just barely have the beginnings of a communication system that is online. We need to be careful with it, but we need to be thankful for it and for its opportunity. And the tax classification doesn't make it a church. There are churches that don't have that classification, and they're still a church.
I've got one more quick question, if I can. Okay. If you have a website that is operated by three people who share the technical responsibilities of maintaining the website, and that those people receive donations for the financial costs involved in maintaining the website and purchasing technology that's used to do the internet work and produce the material, and that website produces material that preaches the gospel. Is that the same thing as a missionary society? And if not, what's the difference?
It's not the same thing as a missionary society as long as congregations do not donate to it. The congregations have no business donating to something like that because their funds are lost. Okay, they are mingled. And if you dig into what constitutes a missionary society, it's everybody intending to do good, but all of a sudden they lose sight of where their money goes. We believe in the direct support system. When Brother Roger was in Africa, we could send money to Brother Roger in Africa. And every congregation could do that. You didn't send that money to a congregation somewhere who decided where it went. And then when you say, where'd our money go? We say, well, we don't know. We support 1,000 works. So if you want to read and study about missionary societies, it's losing track of where funds are going. If you remember, in the days of the famine in Jerusalem, they were so careful to make sure that the funds from every congregation were kept absolutely separate until they were hand-delivered to the recipient. And so those who traveled at great risk of themselves could say to the Jerusalem leaders of the church, these are the funds from Ephesus. These are the funds from Galatia. These are the funds from Corinth. And there was never a loss of the accounting of where those funds went. So the mingling of funds becomes the issue. No congregation should be paying to support private websites, is my view on that, for that very reason.
Roger Bennett.
Well, thank you, Greg. I appreciate your talk very much. My question likely has been answered here just now. But I'm concerned about myself, so I thought I'd ask a question about myself. As a gospel preacher, when I hold a private Bible study, I wanted to kind of clarify from you, in what sense is that private Bible study the work of the church, or in what sense does the church oversee that private Bible study?
Church oversees you, in my opinion. The church oversees you, and so you report your work to the congregation or congregations that support you. And so when you say, I am conducting Bible studies, that is your work. What is the congregation's work? We support Brother Boone to preach the gospel. And that includes preaching, that includes studies.
So if there's a problem with that private Bible study, someone could still take it back to the church because
absolutely.
I'm the problem.
Absolutely.
But the work is still my work.
Yes.
David Griffin.
Now, before we get to David, Jesus said to those congregations in the book of Revelation, I know your works. So there is a separate work that congregations engage in. And so individuals then have other works. The congregation here may decide, we want to send someone to preach in a far-off place. They also may have members that say, I'm going to go visit people in the nursing home. You have individuals preaching, visiting. The work of the church is to encourage all to do what Christians are supposed to do, visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. But their work is to send so that the gospel may be preached.
This may be the same question that Clint was asking. But let me just use Billy Graham for an example, although he's on a very large scale. There's this organization called, or used to be, I presume there still is, the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. Now, it's huge, but you can find lots of people all over the country and probably all over the world that have their own evangelistic associations and their own name. So you've kind of differentiated between our periodicals and websites and such, the differentiation between that and a missionary society and the restoration tradition versus, but now I want to ask you to make a distinction between our periodicals and such, which are really pretty small scale, and if I, David Griffin, wanted to go out and start the David Griffin Evangelistic Association, what's the difference or the distinction there? If I'm
we have had such we have had such to form in days gone by, and I've been active in opposing them because you have individuals doing what the church is mandated to do, and you have an organization that's larger than the church and separate from the church. And one such example was a time when an organization had their meeting and they missed gospel meetings at their congregations to have their association meeting. And it's like, okay, what's going on here? And so that association sounds wonderful. Just because it sounds wonderful doesn't mean it's scriptural. And so when you have individuals saying, we think we want to send preachers all over the world. We as individuals want to do that. It's like, well, that's the work of the church. Now, if it cannot be done through the work of a church, and if a church cannot authorize that and approve of that, then it shouldn't be done. Now, let me talk to you for a minute about Brother Bill Van Staveren. Brother Bill Van Staveren, who's long ago passed on, was a member, a leader of the church in Lebanon, Missouri. And at their business meetings, I understand, he would say things like, Brethren, I think we can do this or this or the other. And they would say, Brother Bill, we don't think we have the money in the treasury for that. And Brother Bill would say, I don't think that will be a problem. Which meant Brother Bill was willing to write the check to make that happen if the brethren were willing for that work to proceed. But he never said, well, I don't care if you like it or not, I'm just going to do this. And that's the same as forming an association to do what is the business of the church to do. And among the projects, just so you know, that Brother Bill Van Staveren was helpful in beginning was the Let the Bible Speak TV program with Ronnie Wade. And as a teenager, I sang on that program with my dad, Clovis Cook and Travis. And so I know how that happened. It was through the Lebanon congregation by the generosity of a man who said to the brethren, we can do this, and they agreed to do it. So it was scriptural.
Any other brother? Randy Tittenbaum.
It's kind of a tough area. If it's a full-time preacher or somebody that's supported by the church, they're under that congregation. What about people who, you know, as was mentioned, and as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all, and especially those of the household of faith, an individual can help do benevolent work for non-Christians. The church cannot. People who are not supported by the church, obviously it can't be sinful activity. No one has the right to do that, individual or whatever. But I don't know, it just seems a little bit like the church is not really overseeing every single activity that every member does. I mean, there are guidelines because it's sin or not sin. But like the helping non-Christians that an individual could do, for example, I think it'd be kind of a fine line to say that has to be under the church in a way. I don't know. I'm just trying to find this maybe in, you know, we kind of like things black and white as much as possible. And I don't know. I've kind of felt like as an individual I have a lot more leeway, but I'm still under the church just as much as a supported preacher or responsible to God. Either way. So I'm just, for example, I do a website for St. Tyler Church of Christ. I do that website. I never ask permission. I don't receive any. I do that out of my pocket. And there are times that I think they would like for that to continue and so forth. But it's, I mean, I own the website. Okay. In any way, would that be me kind of going out on my own wrong because I do it for that congregation? I have others that I consider my personal, just for me, and evangelistic efforts. I have one for the church in Spanish that's just the Church of Christ as an outreach. Not under any congregation at all, but in the name of the church that is evangelistic only. Okay, any of these become questionable? Or I mean, I don't want to be wrong. I mean, seriously, I don't want to be wrong.
So I brought no paper up here. I said that wrong. I do have a little bit of paper here, so I didn't write anything down of what you said, but let me start. Okay. No, I don't believe a congregation's leadership needs to be consulted before our kids have a lemonade stand on the corner. However, if our kids are selling vodka in their lemonade, very well could be that the congregation's leaders will get involved. Okay? And so, no, a congregation is not involved in every aspect of our lives, but yet they have the right to be if there's an issue. And so if I come in next Lord's Day and say, hey, my new part-time job is policeman, there's a problem, okay? And so there are areas where a congregation's leaders leave everything alone in people's lives as people live their lives as faithful Christians. And then it's the relationship of the leadership with the members that determines the degree of involvement. But those who are members of a congregation have an obligation to live their life in such a way that it is a joy to the leadership and not a grief. And so as long as it's a joy, Hebrews 13:17, to direct a congregation, all is well. When something goes wrong, the leaders have to get involved. Now, any website that you're involved with as an individual is your individual website. But if you call it the website of the church where you worship, what I'm saying is I believe it's that congregation's website. I don't care who pays the bill or who administers it. If you say, and that's why I'm saying, let's just believe what we see. If it says it's the Church of Christ at Rice Road, then it is the site that belongs to the Church of Christ at Rice Road. Therefore, we have expectations of it. Now, as you have responsibility to a congregation, if someone looks at any of the sites that you administer and say, this Brother Tidmore is teaching something that's very wrong, there's some place for them to contact and there's some place for them to go. So I'm saying the reporting structure is intact. How you administer it and in what name may be questionable. But if it's Randy's site, then make it Randy's site.
No. It's as C and Tyler Church of Christ in McAllister. But I'm saying I own the domain name.
That makes no difference to me. And I think that's a very, very clear distinction. Now, a lot of brethren on the websites of various congregations have attempted to say this site is under the leadership of or this site is paid for by. And I'm saying if it's the church's site, I don't care who's paying the bill, it's the church's site. Because if I, as an individual, am paying for the site at the Church of Christ at 64th Street, that doesn't give me the right to put funny cat videos on the church's site. Yeah. I can't say, well, I own that, so I can do
no,
that.
No, there's nothing inappropriate on the site there for sure, you know. But just to one of your comments, and I know I'm taking way too much time here. But if that lemonade stand, they were giving tracts, inviting to a gospel meeting also, would that change anything?
Only if they charged for it. No, because what do we do as individuals? We're always supposed to be doing what we can to share the gospel with people. And so it's not that we're violating the scripture in any way by having a tract available or inviting somebody to church, even as we sell a glass of lemonade. The private versus congregational issues are huge among us. And let me give you a sad example of how this can go and where it can end up. So this is the Irving Church that used to be among us. This is their Easter plans. Combining with other churches in town, hearing a Dallas cowboy, Rocket Ishmael, share his testimony, music from three great bands and vocalists. Doors are going to open at 9:30. The service begins at 10:30. There will be 50,000 eggs to find after the worship. Now, if you wonder why I stand up here and say, if you have a congregation's website, be very careful with it. This is what can happen when leadership runs amok and not only does things that should be, if at all, done by individuals, but ends up doing things that are absolutely, totally unscriptural. And so we don't ever want to get there. And while we still love dearly the people that we know that are there, that's no place for us to go.
Well, I want to say, I didn't say this before, but thank you for what you said tonight. Thank you for taking this topic. I have worked on websites, you know, through the years, and I've received criticism and accusations that what I was doing was parallel to missionary society. And I was sent a tract that Brother Irvin Waters and E.H. Miller wrote years ago about the nature of evangelistic work. And that tract has an excerpt from the Odie Briney debate that defines a missionary society as any group of two or more people preaching the gospel. Now, Briney, who believed in missionary societies, is the one who came up with that definition. Sounds like a man who believes in classes saying any group of people talking about the Bible is a Sunday school class. So I reject that definition. I think if that's a missionary society, Paul and Barnabas had one. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely, yes.
That's right. So I wanted to make that clear, that even though that tract was written by our brethren and approved of Briney's definition, I just don't think it's scriptural or tenable. Now, I'm going to read this without attribution, but this was a letter that was sent to me, and I'd like you to comment on these words. The mission of the church is to teach the truth, 1 Timothy 3:15, whether in or out of any assembly. My issue with, and then he mentioned a website I was working with, is not that assemblies are being conducted or that benevolence is being practiced. My issue is about an unscriptural method of preaching the truth. The Lord's church is to receive the glory from the preaching of the gospel, not a website which is disconnected from any congregation. Where is the scripture for this? Could you help me in formulating how to respond to that statement?
No website operated by our brethren who are appropriate in the church is ever separated from a congregation's oversight and leadership. So any individual who insists on being that member at large is a member in rebellion and should not ever be followed. So we have clear examples of individuals teaching in appropriate ways, in appropriate places, separate and apart from the public assemblies of the Lord's church. Priscilla and Aquila, for example. If I understood what you read correctly, they would be condemned for what they did. But there is a private work that individuals can do, including our dear sisters, and then there is the public work that the church must do. And so this would be like saying any book that comes from a printing press just cannot be trusted. If it's not handwritten, then it's just not right. The change in media does not change whether something is right or wrong. What it is determines whether it's right or wrong. And so whether it's in a book form, whether copied by hand or printed on Gutenberg's press, or whether it is in a website, if it is true, it is still true. How it is delivered makes a big difference. And we have to be careful of all of those things in what we do. And so what are we trying to do? We're trying to take the gospel to the whole world. We're attempting to share the gospel of Christ in a meaningful way with as many individuals as possible. It is now possible for somebody to even put a speech about a Tengu warrior mask and get over 500 people to watch at least part of it. Anytime someone watches any snippet of a sermon on Christian Landmark, understand that those who worked to provide that platform are working as individuals to share the gospel of Christ to the world. And if someone is not appreciative of what they see and what they hear, they can respond to the individuals. And if that is not sufficient for them, they can say to the individuals, like Paul and Barnabas did to those teachers from Jerusalem, "Where are you from? We need to talk to them." There is a pattern for all of this. It is a clear pattern. And it is one that we can follow easily and peacefully. And we should not dismiss this newfangled thing, the internet, simply because we do not understand it yet. Let's figure it out. Let's use it wisely. And what I didn't include in this, with all of this stuff, there's so much garbage. So parents, protect your kids. Adults, let's protect ourselves and let's protect our marriage. Let's be wise in how we use all of this. Because just like we wouldn't go to every section of the local library or send our kids to every section of the local library, neither should we as Christians be looking at every section that we may find on the internet.
Roger Boone for our last question.
I think the question I have to ask would apply to either periodicals or the website. And there's really two parts, but could two congregations collaborate on one website? And then the second part of that is, and it be scriptural. And then the second part is, could Christians from different congregations collaborate on a website? I would suspect that the two churches that I'm supposing would be collaborating on a church website. And the Christians would probably be collaborating on a privately worked website. So could two churches, congregations, collaborate on a church website? And then could Christians from separate congregations collaborate on a, you know, like some website?
I thought you were going to answer your own question before you sit down. The first one is no. That's what I think. Because you lose your identity as a congregation in such, you're going to have the right side of the page, congregation A, and the left side of the page, congregation B. You just lose your identity and stuff like that. There's a lot of issues with this that we haven't worked out completely, and this may well be one of them. Individuals who band together from five different congregations to work on a site are still accountable to the leadership of those five different congregations. And it may be that someone would say, Brother Greg, are you the one that posted that? It's like, no, that wasn't me. That was Brother Shahay. Like, oh, okay, I now know who to talk to. But you have, and that's the key, you know who to talk to. And so we... Ronnie wrote on this in the Querist column about, can a congregation have a work that is bigger than itself, where money is sent to its own treasury for that purpose? And I read part of that in preparing for this, and the answer is no. You end up losing the purpose of the funds of the church, and you end up losing the flow of where those funds go. So I would reject the first and say yes to the second, as long as the individuals involved are appropriately submissive to the leadership where they go.